All right, patrons, we are back.
Patreon. Gonna sit back in my lawn. Patreon.
Welcome back.
Man, you ain't gonna put that bullshit song in the at the beginning of this, are you?
Yeah, that's what the people want.
I've never done that.
Yep, you're right. You should have never done it. Never done it. Never gonna do it again.
Great. That's gonna be my legacy. Stupid Patreon song.
Well, you could be known for something worse.
That's true. I could be like Hitler or Richard Simmons or something.
Yeah, because those two are so well versed to each other.
The first two people came to mind.
Jeezy Pete, what's going on in that head of yours this morning? I mean, this afternoon. All right.
I haven't slept. So.
Okay. There's no telling what you're getting today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are hitting you up with the Tokushima disappearance.
This is a strange one.
Y'all. So in 1989, a father hands his toddler to his wife in the entrance of the house. When he turns around, his four-year-old son, who had just been climbing the stairs behind him, is nowhere to be seen. Within 20 seconds, the boy had disappeared and is now been missing for 33 years.
What's strange is it, like, there's not really an opportunity for this to be an abduction.
No, I mean, it's like literally like bringing groceries in. You know, you turn around and go back and you're going to pick the kid up and then the kid's not there. So, Shinya Matsuoka, a four-year-old, lived with his parents, an older sister, and a younger brother in Ibaraki Prefecture, which is, you know, I nailed that second one.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, right on.
When
his maternal when his maternal grandmother suddenly passed away on the 5th of March of 1989, the entire family went to Tokushima to attend her funeral, which took place the following day on March 6th. Afterwards, the family drove 1 hour to a relative of the mother and stayed there for the night. On the morning of March the 7th at around 8 a.m., the father, Shinya, and the youngest sibling, 2-year-olds at the time, went for a walk. When Shinya didn't want to head home about 10 minutes into the walk, they decided to drop off Shinya's brother and walk around in the neighborhood, which was in a very remote area with few homes. Now, leading up to the house they were staying in, there was a flight of stairs about 10 meters long, so you're looking at roughly 20 to 30 feet. Shinya's father, carrying the toddler in his arms, walks ahead of Shinya, who slowly but surely makes his way up. The father saw that Shinya had made it to the very top of the stairs. He steps into the entrance of the home and hands over his younger son to his wife. A matter that takes, what, less than 5 seconds? The father realizes that Shinya hadn't followed him into the house and steps outside to see where he is. Shinya is nowhere to be seen. The father searches around the property but isn't able to find his son. Very soon, family and relatives start joining the search effort. After a while, the local fire brigade also starts to look for the four-year-old, because there was concern he had gotten lost in the mountains. People began searching there as well.
Yeah, there's just not enough time for him to, you know, lose sight that quick.
No.
Either somebody, I mean, literally just like was dead sprint, grab him and keep sprinting right into a car and they speed off, or something.
I don't know. The only, like, they're hiding in the bushes, and then all of a sudden, they take that opportunity. But you're talking, like, mere seconds. So.
Yeah, it's like dead sprint, grab him and go, or.
Ninja style.
Yeah.
I mean, for lack of a better word.
Vanish.
Yeah. Now, the disappearance became a matter for the law enforcement. The initial team, consisting of 15 officers and about 100 riot police officers, firefighters, and citizens, saw the addition of officers to a total of 200 by the next day. For the following 3 months, the search continued, but there were no leads that could help find young Shinya.
I would hope that they got the riot police because they were available, not that they were expecting.
No. Yeah, I think that was it. I think they called them in just because they knew they were a large force, not that they were expecting people to.
Probably didn't have much to do.
Yeah. So after the disappearance, the most, I guess, puzzling aspect is not that he's been gone for so long, is that the fact that he disappeared in that short a time. So investigators were faced with the area where the family was staying was very remote and the house was located at the end of the road. This means that very few people would go there if they didn't live in that corner of the neighborhood. People doing field work just 100 meters away from the scene didn't see any strange cars, and there were no signs of traffic accidents in the area. No one outside the neighborhood knew that the family was staying at the relative's house. Even though Shinya was incredibly mature for his age and had no issues saying his parents' phone number, home address, and names, investigators believe the chances of him having become a victim of a crime was even lower because of those reasons. Now, immediately after the disappearance of the son, the family set up a recording device on the phone at the relative's house. So you're looking at 9 days later, on the 16th of March, the day before the family had planned to return home, the phone rings. Shinya's father picks it up. A female voice on the other end, with a typical Tokushima accent, says, "Is your wife there?" So the father hands the phone to his wife. The person on the other end says, "I am Mariko Nakahara's mother. My child is in a group moon of the Seke Kindergarten." The name of the kindergarten was familiar to her. That's where Shinya's older sister went at the time. The voice continues, quote, "We have put together some money to support you. Where should we send it to? Are you returning home soon?" The mother told the person on the other end of the line they were going to return home the following day. Sometime later, the mother hadn't heard anything about the fund yet, but hesitated to ask about it out of politeness. No phone calls from Mariko's mother either. So days go by, and the mother decides to inquire about the money that was supposedly collected for her family. Turns out there was no student named Mariko Nakahara, and no money was ever collected for the purpose of helping the family out.
What the heck?
Yeah. Thinking about it, the mother realized that it was odd that the call came from someone with a Tokushima accent when they lived in Ibaraki. It made no sense that a guardian...
that you choose cases where you cannot possibly know how to pronounce it. You do this to yourself. You know this.
I know. It made no sense that a guardian of one of the kindergarten students knew the number to the family's relative's house anyway. But then, how would someone from Tokushima know the name of her daughter's kindergarten class? Sadly, nothing useful came from this bizarre phone call.
Useful, no, but perplexing, yes.
Shinya's disappearance gathered some attention by the public, and his family has made over 50 television appearances and even made their home telephone number public to get as much information someone may know as possible. Ooh. I mean, I know they're wanting to find their son, but making your home phone available to the public, can you imagine the morons it will call?
Oh, God, I couldn't imagine.
I mean, you get idiots calling the FBI. But anyway, now there is a list compiling all the supposed sightings of Shinya since the disappearance. So, and this is a translation, which the English may be broken. So in May of 1989, a man carrying a boy with a similar appearance to Shinya was seen by the ocean in Tokushima. When the witness tried to take a closer look at the boy's face, the man turned away and got into a white car. The area is known to be a place where North Korean ships come by. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted to improve my gut health. I needed more energy. I wanted to optimize my immune system, and I despise taking vitamins. So I've been on it for about 5 weeks, and it's pretty good. It doesn't taste like a super healthy green smoothie. It has a mild tropical taste that I actually look forward to. You know, it's very good. It's 75 high quality vitamins and minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. It helps start your day off right. And it's a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy recovery, you name it. Now, I usually take it in the mornings and right after I have my coffee. And then I've noticed that my digestion has gotten more regulated. My energy levels are up. I would say the taste is more like a coconut, but some people say that it's more like a mango. But I've had my wife try it. She loves it. And I always make sure that I have it when I travel. It is lifestyle friendly, whether you are keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still having a great taste. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, and it also supports mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens use the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. The price is going to cost you less than $3 a day. And it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes. And Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recovery. It cost him $100 a day. So he created Athletic Greens after experiencing how difficult it was to create an optimal nutrition routine on your own. It is trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. And for every purchase, we donate to organizations helping to get nutritious foods to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the U.S. And in 2020, Athletic Greens donated over 1.2 million meals to kids. Right now is the time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging. That's EMERGING. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. In April of 1990, a housewife from Tokushima directly called the family's home phone and said she was absolutely certain she had seen Shinya. His father met the person to get more details. He handed all the information to the police and requested to have the sighting verified to be Shinya. When he inquired about it after not hearing from the police, the head of the police department said he had been too busy because his father had passed away. Nothing ever come of it.
Pass it off to someone else.
I know. Later in 1990, hearing that a boy looking similar to Shinya was seen in front of a mall in Yamagata, his father went there and handed out flyers of his missing son to locals who confirmed they had seen the boy at a store on a playground. Nothing else comes of those leads.
Gotta be so frustrating.
I know. In 1991, Shinya's mother was informed that a couple were seen with a child who, judging by their age difference, wasn't theirs at a temple in Shikoku. She went there and looked for them, but couldn't find anybody that had seen them. In 1995, an elderly man living in Hokkaido claims he knew someone who told him they had gotten a child named Shinya as a gift from the main island. Nothing is ever found out about that one.
You
I'm killing it. Don't you say I'm not, son.
Receive a child as a gift. A child as a gift. Yeah, you take that child directly to the authorities.
I don't know, man. It's crazy stuff. In 97, a woman on her way home from work allegedly saw Shinya in a subway in Yokohama. Supposedly, he was sitting next to her, and she said she got goosebumps because he looked so similar to the missing child. He appeared to have wrist injuries, barely covered by a bandage, and overall looked like he was not being taken well care of. She talked to him, and he told her he was being mistreated by an older man. She gave him her number in case he needs help, and just once, he called her. There's nothing about what was said on the phone call, if she turned it over to police, which I guess you would have to if we're reading about it, but... In 1998, a cashier at a video rental store in the Chugoku region claims he saw a child with injured wrist who took a Titanic postcard, showed it to a man who looked like a Yakuza member, and who appeared to be keeping him under watch and bought the card. The employee immediately told the store owner and the two went looking for the boy, but they had already disappeared. Oh, well, look, let me explain something to you. I wouldn't mess with the American Mafia, but I sure as shit am not even looking in the direction of a known Yakuza member.
I'm not even going to mention him.
So you Timmy Toppered me right there.
This is all you, brother.
Now, in 2018, a man claimed to be Shinya, and he was going by the name of Ryutu Wada. And he was on a TV show where he claimed to be the missing Shinya Matsuoka. Now, as the Japanese corner of Reddit became excited with the fact that this might be the end of the missing boy's mystery, Ryutu did look quite similar to Shinya, some said, and people were highly anticipating the results of the DNA test, which would conclusively tell the entire nation whether he was or was not Shinya Matsuoka.
And since we're discussing it, you could probably guess the results.
Yep. Unfortunately, Ryutu was not Shinya Matsuoka. So the boy that went missing within less than 5 seconds has been missing for 33 years.
Yeah, he'd be what, like?
He was 4 at the time, so he's 40 easy now. Because, I mean, yeah. I think this article was written in 2019, so he's pushing 40, late, very late 30s.
No, he's not 40. If he was 4 in 1989, that means he was born in 1985. I was born in 1980, and I'm 40.
I said late 30s, pushing 40. God, I wished you would pay attention. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tokushima disappearance. Let us know what you think.
Are we not going to give our theories?
That's what I was about to do, but look at you being, you know, Johnny on the spot. Just cutting me off right there.
Wrapping it up.
So... I don't know how the hell he would have went missing, man. I mean, it almost seems to me like there had to be either a family member that was at the relative's house that kind of, I guess, hurried him.
You also have to assume that perhaps the story that we've been told is not entirely accurate. Maybe there was more time.
Or... Maybe he didn't climb the steps to go so his dad could hand off his younger sibling, and he stayed on the street, and the dad went in and did something more than just hand the baby off, like grab a drink of water or use the bathroom.
That's exactly what I just said. You're repeating it in a different way.
No, I'm elaborating on it.
Yeah, I think there has to be more to this story in order to give enough time for an abduction to happen.
Well, and I think that the abduction theory is plausible because you have all of those sightings of similar-looking children. Now, that may just be it. They just may look similar, but it seems that some of these sightings were pretty credible.
I mean, I would agree with that. So I'm just saying, in order for me to make sense of this, it's either he vanished completely off into the ether, or there was more time than what has been told.
Yeah, I think there's been more. I think there was more time. I think it was probably more along the lines of the dad went into the house to get something, and that's all it took.
And I'm not saying they're omitting things on purpose. I'm just saying that maybe they, you know, it's a frantic situation. It turned into an emergency situation. It went from a completely normal day to the worst possible day of their lives. It's possible that they've got their time frames wrong.
Well, in the headline that I originally saw this story said 20 seconds turns into 33 years. Well, 20 seconds is a hell of a long time when it comes to...
20 seconds is definitely long enough
to... Yes, that's what I was about to say.
Especially if he didn't climb the stairs.
Right.
That's so, more than enough time to make that happen.
And if 20 seconds is what the family had said, I don't know... What we said 10 meters and I said 20 to 30 feet. I meant 20 to 30 yards. That's still not that big of a distance that you couldn't grab and go in 20 seconds. I'm thinking.
Yeah, you would think if they just snatched the kid up. That
he would yell or say, yeah. Kind. That's what leads me to think that the kid may have known who took him or at least knew of him. So there wasn't a scream or, and I'm not saying the family member, but you know, you always start with the inner circle, but it had to be someone close to the family so that the kid didn't scream.
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah. It's an odd one.
20 seconds. I mean, that's a pretty good amount of time, but that's still going to look to me like a snatch and grab type situation. And if you snatch a kid up out of nowhere, even if you do know him,
you're going to hear something. You'll either hear a giggle or a hey or something. Yeah. That's what I was about to say.
From the kid or from the car or something.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't know. I don't see it being deadly quiet and you not. I don't know. But anyway, I would hate to be in that situation, man. That would be awful. So let us know what you think, and again, thank you for your hard-earned Patreon dollars. We are attempting to once again upgrade the equipment, so every dollar is greatly appreciated.
I'm now speaking to you from a microphone.
Instead of...
Just from your hard-earned Patreon money.
Instead of a Coke can that he yells through into his computer.
Yeah, I got a USB mic. It's pretty nice, actually.
It's got a stand, but if you didn't know this... Coach does not believe in tables of anything except a coffee table, so the stand is useless. Thank you, Walmart, for a useless stand. But again, thank you again. Thank you.
Lean down that far.
Oh, my God. Here, you can't sit your big butt on the floor like you're 7 eating out for the coffee table?
Oh, no, my ass would go to sleep and I wouldn't be able to get up.
They got them things called cushions?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you are enjoying these Patreon-exclusive episodes. Let us know what you think. Let us know if we should do more of these obscure little disappearances, because you know that's right up Coach's alley. He loves a good disappearance.
Darn right I do.
You got anything else there, Slappy?
No, I don't.
Deuces.